wondering what's wrong with that side of the auditorium. Everybody's over here, so I'll talk to you. Well, thank you for coming to our 2016 Daily Vacation Bible School program. If you've never been here before, we've got to introduce you to our piano. Our piano is a talking piano, and when it makes this sound, we stand up. And when it makes this sound, we sit down. And we'll be doing that for the next hour. No, I'm just kidding. No, we begin each day by pledging allegiance to the American flag. And so, talking piano, let's stand and do just that. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nature, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We also sing what we call a salute song. And so you're welcome to join us. And it's an easy tune to follow. And so let's sing it out, children. Our country's flag we salute today, the dear red, white, and blue. The emblem of the land we love, we pledge allegiance true. God grant you might to uphold the right and keep your purpose high, till Christ the King his kingdom brings in that wondrous by and by. Now we pledge allegiance to the Christian flag. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. Our Savior's flag we salute today, the colors proudly bear, the emblem of the Savior's love and a kingdom pure and fair. Oh, may we faithful subjects be, with lives both pure and true, and of our King with gladness sing, winning others to him too. Now let's pledge allegiance to the Bible. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. The Word of God we salute today, the Bible tried and true, to God's own book we'll ever look for the light our fathers knew. Oh, may we faithfully read and pray that like thee we may grow and others bring to Christ the King that they to his grace may know. Talking piano. You guys did really good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We do a lot of singing at Bible school, and we really enjoy that. Let's see, I need a couple to help me with this. You behind the mask, you come on up here. I don't know who it is, but all right, maybe someone from over here. Landon, will you come up and help? All right. A lot of our songs centered around salvation. Salvation is a big word, But that's one of the reasons we have a Bible school, to explain what salvation is all about through the Lord Jesus Christ, who left the glories of heaven to become a man and die on the cross in our place and pay the full penalty of our sins so we could receive the free gift of eternal life. And this song talks about that. Grab the last page. There we go. Salvation is a big word, but I am not too small. To know Christ died on Calvary from sin to save us all. For when a sinner trusts Him to take away his sin, the Savior comes with peace and joy to dwell his heart within. Salvation, salvation, the gift of life is free. For Jesus died for sinners, even you and me. The Bible clearly tells us that all are lost in sin, and not by any goodness can we salvation win. If I could have but one verse, John 3:16 would do. God loved the world and gave His Son to die for me and you. Salvation, salvation, the gift of life is free. For Jesus died for sinners, even you and me. Thank you. Now, one thing we did each day at Bible school as well is have what we call a thought for the day. It's kind of a catchy phrase that communicates an important biblical truth, and we learned one each day. And then during story time or right after, we'd have someone draw a name out of the bag, and if the name was drawn and they could say the phrase, they could pick out a prize out of the prize box. So see if you can pick out a Rupert. Hayden Goligoski. I know he's here somewhere. Can you say this one, Hayden? Good job. Wow. Well, after the program, you can see Mrs. Lachlan, and she'll give you a prize. Or let you pick one out. That's even better. Except this year. And so let's all say it together, kids. To us, Jesus paid an enormous price. And so one of the things we explain this week is that salvation is a free gift. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. That salvation is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so these hands represent God reaching down a gift that He wants everyone to receive. And of course, if it's a gift, that means it's free. And one of the things we explain to the kids this week, and they all understood this concept, that if they got a gift on their birthday, or if they got a gift at Christmas, or whatever it might be, we asked them, well, who gave it to you? And they would say, well, mom or dad or grandma or someone like that. And I said, well, who paid for it? And I said, well, they did. I said, well, did it cost you anything? No, they got the benefits of what someone else did. They did the work, they sacrificed the cost or whatever was involved, and the recipient of the gift gets it for free. And that's how God offers heaven. See, none of us here deserve to go to heaven. And the problem is that we're sinners. We were born in sin. We're born sinners. And no one had to teach us how to sin. Usually the first word a child learns is no. And I want you to do this. No. And so we're born that way. And so God gave us the Ten Commandments to show His standard. It says, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, and so forth. And when we humbly evaluate ourselves against that standard, we are to come to the same conclusion God has already come to, and that's that we're guilty of breaking His laws. And like in our justice system here, if you violate a law, speeding, for example, you have to pay a fine, and God has a justice system. And when we violate His standards, we have to pay a fine, but the price of sinning against God is death. And that means separation from Him forever. And this is very hard emotionally in a place called the lake of fire or hell. And so that's obviously bad news. But the good news is God is a God of love. And He realized that we did not have the means by which we could pay off our sin. The price is way too high.
We don't have the means to pay for our sin because what God requires for the payment of sin is death. And so if we die to pay off our sins, there's no opportunity for us to receive life because we gave ours to pay for that. And that life or that payment lasts for all eternity in the lake of fire. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And this is why Christ came. And the difference between Christ and you and me is that he lived a perfect life. He never sinned. He was God who became a man. But he also came as the Lamb of God. And as the Lamb of God, he went to the cross of Calvary. And most of us here in America know that Jesus died on the cross. But what a lot of people don't understand is what he was doing there and what he accomplished there. What he was doing there was dying a death in our place. He was paying a penalty that he did not deserve to pay. He was dying in our place to pay a penalty we could never pay. And that's pretty amazing that he would even do that. And so for the hours of 12 and 3, what's customarily called Good Friday, the sins of the whole world were poured out on him. The wrath of God that you and I deserve to pay for our rebellion against God, Christ took in our stead. And the second last thing he cried on the cross is, "It is finished," and that means paid in full. And so Christ paid an enormous cost. He bore the equivalent of hell on the cross of Calvary, not for his sins, for he had none, but for yours and for mine. You know, if you were to try to pay off your own sin, you'd have to spend all eternity in hell to do it. And you see, our good works can't pay for sin. That's like trying to buy something with Monopoly money. It's an unacceptable payment. Your good does not outweigh your bad. And even if it could, you would never do enough good to outweigh your bad. So God in love provided the very thing we need for salvation in the person of his son, who loved you and me enough to go to the cross and die in our place and pay the enormous cost that God required to satisfy his justice. And the beauty of it is he satisfied it because he rose from the grave, proving that God accepted his payment, and he now lives forever. And so the offer he's making for free is that he will save you from your sins, from a hell you deserve to a heaven you don't, on one condition, that you simply accept the payment he made. And you do that by placing your trust in him. Just like you're trusting this chair to hold you up, when you trust Christ alone as your Savior, you receive the free gift of everlasting life. And that's a message, excuse me, we had the privilege of sharing with your children this week because that's exactly what the Bible tells us. So let's say it again, kids. Salvation is free to us, but Christ paid an enormous cost. Very good. All right. Let's see here. What is it? Gigi and, yeah, those two girls. Come on up. We're going to sing another song, kind of a Bible school favorite. When you see a smiley face, doesn't matter what color it is, that represents the words, "Happy am I." Happy am I, mine forever, never to leave, always in each endeavor, leading me on, in a life ending never, oh, you know, I smile every mile, happy am I, happy am I. All of my sins forgiven, what a great day. Life is not worth the living, one of these days. I'll be enjoying heaven, now that I know, upward I'll go. Happy am I, happy am I. How can I help but shout it every day? Telling the world about Jesus is real. Only believe, don't doubt it. And if you like, be happy like me, happy am I. Thank you, girls. Are you ready, Mrs. Miller?
till I. Take care of David, and eventually God kept his promise, and David became king. That's why they're all wearing crowns. And just like God kept his promise to David, God keeps his promise to us too. And we learn that God promises eternal life to all of us who choose to trust his Son. And that's what our last one is about.
Heaven is a happy place, happy place.
Good job, kids. Like I mentioned earlier, we had two other thoughts for the day. And let's let everyone know what they were. Gang, can we say it together? God's law shows us a need that only God's grace can supply. All right. And this one here. The soil in our hearts affects the fruit of our lips. We have a very enthusiastic one who knows it well here. And with this, we're going to let the older middle class present to us what they learned this week.
Hi, my name is Jen Sowers, and I had the privilege of teaching the 5th and 6th graders, and my helpers were Hope Brown and Mary Seelix, and we had about 13 students this week. This week we learned about the life and times of Joshua. Joshua was the assistant of Moses, the servant of the true God, who was used to bring the nation of Israel out of bondage in Egypt. But Moses was dying, and God told him to inaugurate Joshua to be the next leader of Israel. The book of Joshua is all about trusting God to fight our battles for us, and God enabled Israel's conquest of the promised land under Joshua's leadership. Well, after Moses died, the Lord spoke to Joshua. He said very plainly, "Moses, my servant, is dead." The Lord went on to tell Joshua to be strong and courageous. Not that kind of strong. He was to be strong in his God. The Lord promised Joshua he would be with him and bring him success. Joshua promptly followed the Lord's direction and sent out two spies to check out the city of Jericho. The spies entered Jericho and tried to go unnoticed by hiding out in the house of Rahab. She hid the spies from the king's men and then asked them to spare the lives of her and her family when they attacked the city. The spies agreed, but she had to tie a scarlet cord in her window. And then she let them down through the window by a rope to escape so they wouldn't be caught. Then Joshua and the entire nation of Israel, possibly 2 million people, had to cross the Jordan River to take the land that God had promised them. But there was a problem. The Jordan was raging and dangerous because it was a rainy season. But when the priest's feet touched the water, the river stopped flowing and it heaped up. All 2 million people in Israel were able to cross the riverbed on dry ground. And the water didn't stop again until all of them had passed through. Now Jericho was only a short distance away. But how would Israel get through those fortified walls? God told them to circle around the city once for a week, and then on the seventh day they were to go around 7 times. And they were to blow on their ram's horns. And on Joshua's signal they were to shout, and the walls would come down. And Israel was able to destroy the entire city as God had told them. Israel was on top of the world. The Lord had given them an incredible victory, but there was a problem. When they went to take on the city of Ai, 36 of their men died that day running away from Ai's soldiers. Well, it turned out that a man named Achan had taken some of the accursed items from Jericho. God had told them to leave those items and destroy them. And God told Joshua that he would not be with Israel anymore unless they stoned Achan and got rid of Israel's wickedness. Achan was taken care of. After this, Israel conquered the rest of the promised land and had rest. And each tribe got their inheritance of land. Joshua was now old and knew his time to die was near, so he gathered all Israel. And he parted with these words. Thank you.
We always try to have a couple audience participation songs. Jake. And so this is a song called Sign Me Up. And this side here is going to be 1 and 2, and that side is going to be 3 and 4. You don't have to shout. You can shout, but don't scream your numbers. All right? Let's sing Sign Me Up. Sign me up.
1, 2.
Sign me up.
3, 4.
Sign me up on the dotted line. I was looking for soldiers in every land to march for truth and right. He was looking for the old wind of the night. And I thought all was mine. You first know those knowing with the sting of kings, make his glory shine. But I saw the feet of a civic king, and never will resign. Sign me up.
1, 2.
Sign me up.
3, 4.
Sign me up on the dotted line. Sign me up.
1, 2.
Sign me up. Time will leave this old world behind. Satan may shoot his darts at me, but he's not as strong as the Lord's army. He's not as strong as the Lord's army. A lazy loafer I will never be. Sign me up.
1, 2.
Sign me up.
3.
Sign me up on the dotted line. Sign me up.
1, 2.
Sign me up.
3, 4.
Sign me up on the dotted line. So looking Christian from your seat of faith, and my opinion for the Lord. Put my sneakers on and my armor on. I bear his mighty sword. Every battle's won when the day is done, if we obey his word. On the sword of today, in the shining side, the army of the Lord. Sign me up.
1, 2.
Sign me up. Sign me up on the dotted line. Sign me up.
1, 2.
Sign me up.
3, 4.
And we'll leave this old world behind. Satan may fuse to his mouth at me, but he's not as strong as the Lord's army. He's not as strong as the Lord's army. A lazy loafer I will never be. Sign me up.
1, 2.
Sign me up.
3, 4.
Sign me up on the dotted line. Sign me up.
1, 2.
Sign me up.
3, 4.
Sign me up on the dotted line. Sign me up.
Sign me up.
Yeah. Okay, this time the younger middle class are going to show us what they learned this week in Bible school.
Hi, my name is Jill Laughlin, and I had the privilege of teaching the older middle class, and we had mainly second through about fourth grade, I think, some first graders maybe. And we had a total of 23 children, so it was a very busy class, but we had excellent helpers, Chrissy Eisenmeinger, Katie Rupert, Allison Chudy, and Jake Gustafson. We are going to share with you a short portion of the many events in the prophet Elisha's life. God did many miracles through the prophet Elisha. He was a blessing to those he served, and he was an instrument to bring salvation, even to individuals that were Israel's enemies. We see how holy God was and that he must judge sin. But in mercy, he also meets his own righteous demands through the person of his son. His grace comes to us freely by Christ, and this was illustrated in many of our stories. But unfortunately for Elisha, life as the nation's prophet wasn't always easy. After he saw his master Elijah taken up to heaven in a whirlwind, some teenagers met him on the road. He pronounced a curse on them. Go that way. Through the mouth. We learn that we too need salvation as we cannot match God's holy, righteous character set forth in Psalm 5:4. Most of Elijah's life was characterized by showing great care and kindness to people. Once, a widow had a problem.
Give me the money, otherwise your son will be my slave.
The widow came to Elisha for help. Elisha told her, go borrow as many jars as you can from neighbors. And so she did that, and her sons helped her. And God did a miracle for her and cared about her by filling all the oil with what little she had out left in order to pay her debt. So she sold it and paid off her debt. And her sons were not taken as slaves. God showed his care for people outside of Israel too, through a little servant girl. This little servant girl was taken as a slave by Captain Naaman and his wife, but she served faithfully in his home and had a great testimony. But poor Captain Naaman, he had the dreaded disease of leprosy. Our sin is a lot like leprosy. It starts out small and then it spreads and can't be cured except by God's divine intervention. From Elisha's day to now, salvation has always been the same through Jesus Christ. But remembering her God and having compassion on her master, one day the little servant girl exclaimed, so at that, Naaman took the advice of the little servant girl and got a letter from the king of Syria. And then the king of Syria gave him many gifts of gold, silver, and royal robes worth $100,000 worth in today's money. And eventually, Elisha got word that the king of Israel was stressed out of Assyrian seeking a cure in Israel. So he sent for Naaman. So Naaman followed along and went towards the land of Israel with his chariot, seeking out a healing from the king of Israel. with all that wealth, thinking he could buy his cure. However, Elisha found out about this and sent Naaman to his house. Well, this, Naaman was enraged. The prophet Elisha didn't even greet him. And his lowly servant Gehazi only spoke to him to do a silly thing like dip. This seemed ridiculous to Naaman. And he was enraged. Finally, his servant persuaded him. So Naaman went down to the dirty Jordan River that weren't like the rivers of Damascus. And he believed God's word and believed the word from Elijah and took the cure. So he dipped down. And on the seventh time, he exclaimed, And then Naaman said, but Elisha said,
send Naaman to my house.
No, the next line. You can go out and meet him and shake his hand.
As the Lord wills to my servant, I will accept nothing. I did this for the glory of God, not for payment.
Titus 3:5 says, everybody's eyes up here,
not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us.
Just as Naaman had to believe in the cure offered, so we must believe in the remedy God provides for our sins. Revelation 1:5b also reminds us that only through Jesus Christ's blood shed for our sins can we be made clean and fit for God's perfect, sinless heaven. Revelation 1:5 says,
to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
From Elisha's day to now, salvation has been promised and guaranteed through Jesus Christ. Do you know your sins are forgiven? We hope you do. Acts 10:43 says, the end.
We're going to have our second audience participation song, and you're all going to have to participate for this to be successful. We're going to sing the song Obedience, and if you look, you spell out the word during the chorus, and so we're going to divide the word obedience up into rows here. And so you guys are going to be O, and you and your row are going to be B,
You guys are going to be E, all right? You're going to be D. You can handle D, right? You're going to be I, and you guys are all going to be E. These two rows are going to be N. You two rows are going to be C, and the rest are going to be E. You can handle that, right? All right, so let's sing Obedience.
Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands, doing it happily. Action is the key, do it immediately. Joy you will receive. Obedience is the very best way. Whoops. Show that you believe. Oh. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe.
Let's go, B.
We want to live pure. We want to live. We want to do our best. Sweetly submitting to authority, leaving to God the rest. Walking in the light, keeping our attitudes right on the narrow way. For if we believe the word we receive, we always should obey. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe.
You guys are quick learners. Very good second time. This time the oldest class is going to come up and share what they learned this week.
Okay. All right. So the reason we wanted to know what God is like is so we can trust him, because the quality of a relationship is based on the amount of trust. It's hard to trust a God that you don't know. So like Nick said, the three attributes we focused on were God's sovereignty, omniscience, and love. God possesses supreme power and authority so that he is in absolute control to do whatever he pleases. And the important part of this is that he has the power to back up his authority. just like the teacher is the only one with power and authority to control the class, God is the only one with power and authority to be in control of the universe and our daily lives. God is also omniscient, meaning he has complete and unlimited knowledge, understanding, awareness, and wisdom. Since God's sovereignty, omniscience, and love all work together in concert, God can only do what is best for us. Even if we don't understand why things happen, God promises that they are working together for good. God is also love, which is an aspect of his nature that causes him to do what is best for the object of his love, namely mankind. We learn that God's love is different than human love. Human love is conditional, meaning that we love if we get something out of it, when it's convenient, because it's reciprocated, or until we've been hurt or lied to too many times. Thankfully, God's love is unconditional. He loved us regardless of whether or not we care, when it was least convenient for him, and in spite of the fact that we've rejected and despised him. And he'll love us forever, even if we don't love him back. His ultimate demonstration of this love is when he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to fully pay the penalty for the sin each of us has committed by dying on the cross in our place and purchasing for us the gift of eternal life. First John 4:9-10 says, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." We can accept the gift of eternal life by believing that Christ got the job done when he died for us. The same God that loved us enough to die for us also promises that he is working our lives together for good.
Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose.
The end.
We're going to close our program out by singing one more song. I wanted to let you know, though, that it's been very hot in here, and so thank you for enduring the conditions, and I hope you enjoyed the program. We want to invite you to stay. We've got all kinds of crackers and cheese and cupcakes in the back with something to drink, so please stick around and enjoy a time of fellowship. You're certainly welcome to do that. If you need to use the bathroom, they're down the hall to my left. So why don't we end our program tonight by standing and singing a song called Happiness is the Lord. You can help me with this, young man. Happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within his favor, having a change in my behavior. Happiness is the Lord. Happiness is a new creation, Jesus and me in close relation, having a part in his salvation. Happiness is the Lord. Real joy is mine, no matter if the teardrops start. I found the secret, it's Jesus in my heart. Happiness is to be forgiven, living a life that's worth the living, taking a trip that leads to heaven. Happiness is the Lord. Happiness is the Lord. Happiness is the Lord. Thank you so much for coming. With that, you're dismissed.